So turn the Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Excuse me. There we go. That's better. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in that position where you're sitting across from a friend, you're sitting across from a colleague, you're sitting across from a coworker, somebody you just met? Maybe the circumstances seemed a little too good to be true. They were talking about problems in their life. They led into maybe some spiritual discussions, but you didn't take it far enough. Maybe you walked out of there thinking later, I really, really, really messed up that opportunity to talk about Jesus. Anybody been there? Anybody been there? I knew there was other people out there like me. Paul doesn't seem to do that very much. In fact, Paul takes bad situations and makes them better. Paul doesn't leave any opportunity to waste. Let's read this in chapter 1 and verse 12. It says this: I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Now, hey, Roger, why don't you come up here and sit? There we go. I want to take a look at that first verse, and we're going to camp out here just for a little bit. It says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, I know over the past couple of weeks, as we've been in Philippians, the church at Philippi, that we've kind of covered some kind of context, right? And so if I were to ask you, what kind of context is Paul writing this? Where he says, what has happened to me has really happened for the advancement of the gospel. What is Paul saying here? What has happened to Paul? He's in prison. Oh, we know what are the circumstances of Paul's imprisonment. We read through Acts, and he says, what? Do you know it? Does he have shackles on his feet? Not probably at this prison. Maybe, but probably not. Okay. Paul had been in prison many times before. You're thinking like in the Philippian jail. Yeah. He's writing. That's funny that he brings that up, because Paul was in prison at Philippi, and now he's writing to them, the place he was imprisoned by, from Rome. He's in prison at Rome. And so if you read Acts, Paul's situation is that he needed to go and he needed to go back to Jerusalem. But, you know, Paul knew that if he goes back to Jerusalem, being a person who preaches the gospel to the Gentiles as a Jewish man, he's probably not going to fare well with the people in Jerusalem, right? And so he is there. And in order to be... To save, well, I shouldn't say just in order, but It happens that he gets attacked, and in order to save himself from being killed by the Jews, he appeals to Caesar while he's there in prison, and so he must go to Rome and actually appeal to Caesar. And so here he is in Rome waiting that trial. It's pretty kind of a cool thing. But I want you to think about it just a second. What would it be like for Paul? Think about being in prison, being somebody whose life is all about spreading the gospel, and now you're confined. Excuse me? He has a captive audience. Yep. He has the guard around. He has lots of... But think about that. Put yourself in Paul's shoes. What would you do if you were in Paul's shoes? You've been arrested basically for your faith. What would you do? Would it be enough for you to just simply be quiet? Or would you take your time and use it for God's glory? I don't know. Paul doesn't let his confinement stop the advancement of the gospel. Do you recognize that? Paul had people coming in and out of the prison to feed him, to help him. And he says, what's happened to me is happening for the advancement of the gospel. I think sometimes, I don't know if it's the American comfort that has made us soft, or if it's living in a postmodern world that helps us to keep our mouths shut. But I think a lot of times we give up pretty easy when it comes to the advancement of the gospel and where we are. Hey, think about it. Do we just give up sometimes? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe you're one that takes every opportunity. Maybe you've learned to be like Paul. I don't know. Maybe it is that you hold a Bible study in your home, and maybe there's been a time where just you knew it was just one person that's going to show up. Did you say, well, let's not worry about one person? Has that ever happened? Oh, only one or two people are going to show up, so we're just not going to do it today. You know, there's value in advancing the gospel with just one. I think sometimes we give up. Here's Paul. Paul is in prison. Paul doesn't give up. Paul looks at every person in his sphere of influence as an opportunity. Think about it. Every person that you meet in your sphere of influence, do you see them as an opportunity? Paul does. Because later it'll say the Praetorian Guard, everybody else, even the people outside the prison that know about Paul's imprisonment, they are emboldened by Paul's approach to ministry. Every person is an opportunity. How is it that we can take those opportunities? Like Paul, here. What does he say? He says, everything that has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul is not allowing the adversity to stop him. He sees every person as an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus Christ. My question is here for us. So if we're going to look at what Paul does, and Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, how are we going to be like Paul? Because I know, because you're here and I don't see bars on the window, that we're not in prison. How can I identify with Paul? How can I be like Paul in this situation? Okay, sometimes we're in a hostile place. Yeah, we have to be wise about how we advance the gospel. We got to have the mind to do it, right? Yeah. Can I tell you some things that I do? How many of you like to garage sale? There are a few people, big smiles on their face. Yeah, garage sales, cheap stuff. One of the things I like to do, because you know, inevitably almost every garage sale, there's books there, right? And for some, I don't know why, but I'm just drawn to that part of the garage sale. Anybody else like that, drawn to the book section? Okay. It's really fun, especially when they have Christian books. And you kind of look at the titles, and maybe you've heard a couple, and you get to see whether or not they're the deeper type of books or whether they're the easier type of books, right? And I'll run into somebody, and I'll see Christian books, and I say, oh, where do you go to church? You know what that does? It starts a conversation, you know? And this is a book that they've probably read or at least had in their home for a while. Maybe they've thumbed through it and they'll tell me where they go to church or where they don't go to church. What did you think about it? What did he say? You know, that's just at a garage sale. That's using the people that you run into every day or at least on Fridays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays around here about the gospel. Now, it's not necessarily a hostile environment like Paul's in, but Paul is using every opportunity that he has to advance the gospel in some way. Now, I'm not saying that Paul comes right out with the Romans Road, the guy who invented the Romans Road, maybe. Okay, that was sort of a joke. Paul wrote the book of Romans. Okay. You know, I don't think Paul necessarily jumps out right away with the Romans Road, but you know, he's talking about Jesus. He's telling him stories about his life. He's talking about how Jesus died and how he rose again, and that if they would believe, they would be saved. He starts those conversations. It's an amazing thing, influence. It's an amazing thing looking at the opportunities to advance the gospel. It's not about us, it's about them. It's about Jesus ministering in their life. That's what this is about. Paul doesn't waste his time. Paul is also making the most of his situation. You know, a lot of inventions are born out of adversity or even mistake. And I think sometimes we look at the situations that we're in, we just happen to be in a place, and we think, you know, how in the world is it that I can talk about the gospel? What if I make a mistake? I've made lots of mistakes in my life. Have you ever heard about a fellow by the name of, let me get his name right, Sir Alexander Fleming? How many of you heard that name before? Ah, the medical professionals. Oh, some of you know about science. Sir Alexander Fleming was known for what? Oh, my soul. Ah, I only found it out because you left your browser open to Sir Alexander Fleming. I thought he was smart. He's observant, yeah. Sir Alexander Fleming was responsible for discovering the effects of penicillin. And you know how he found it out? It wasn't because he was actually looking at penicillin. His petri dishes. Biology guy, and he was looking for some remedies to things like gonorrhea and blood diseases and infections and stuff like that, because it was in the 1920s, if I remember right, 1920s, 1940s, and if you had a problem, basically the doctors would just comfort you and hope for the best. If you got blood poisoning, just comfort you and hope for the best. But one day, after some work, Mr. Fleming decided that he was going to go on vacation. So he went on vacation for a whole month. He went to the Irish countryside, and he came back, and his lab was a mess. And he was looking through, he was just kind of going through his stuff, cleaning out all the streptococcus stuff that he was growing. And all of a sudden, he looks down, and there's this one piece of mold growing in one of his petri dishes, and he says, "This is holding back the germs. What is this?" So by accident, we have penicillin. And I say that, it's a fun story to think about, but I think about it in terms of the gospel. We make mistakes when we share the gospel. We think, oh, I should have said this. Oh, I should have said that. If we will just talk about Jesus, if we will talk about what he's done in our lives, maybe we don't have the right verse, maybe we don't have the right passage, but God can use those things, use those conversations, even mistakes, even passing words. God uses so often, over and over and over and over again, to bring people to him. And so I just want to encourage you, use every opportunity. Don't let anything go to waste. I mean, we're Americans, for crying out loud. We don't like to waste anything, do we? Some people don't. Some people don't waste a thing. My grandmother, she cuts bottles of hand lotion in half because if you run the pump thing, it only pumps so much and there's still a whole bunch in the bottle. So my grandmother will actually, instead of throwing it out, like, how many of you would throw it out? Yeah, I do that. We just toss it. My grandmother actually cuts those things off and uses the hand soap, hand lotion inside. Paul is kind of like that. He doesn't let any opportunity go to waste. He's speaking to these people about Jesus Christ. He says, everything that's happened to me has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Another thing I was looking at, realizing what Paul is doing, when he talks about the advancement of the gospel, the word advancement is talking, it's the same kind of language you use when you're talking about advancing or blazing a trail. It's the same kind of thing that we talk about when we're going on an adventure. How many of you like to go on adventures? All right? You want to go someplace you've never been, or you want to go out in the woods and go find snakes or bugs or fish. We like to go on adventure, right? And that's not so bad. But going into new territory, someplace that somebody's never been, that can be kind of scary, right? I don't always like to go to new places. I like to go, where I have GPS signal, and I like to go where I know that I'm going to get lunch, or, I like that. But Paul here, he's blazing a trail. He's taking the gospel to Rome, right? The gospel's already in Rome, but Paul is advancing. He's using that to solidify some things, to teach some things. I don't want you to think about the gospel and the work in people. I think one of the reasons that the gospel, spreading the gospel, telling people about Jesus is kind of scary. You know why? Because you're blazing new trails. Well, what if you do it all the time? What if you're talking about Jesus all the time? Then it's not so scary, right? No, you're talking about blazing new trails with new people. You're talking about getting people to open up and talk to you about who Jesus is. Whether they accept it or not, you are blazing trails, so to speak. I think that's one of the reasons it can be so scary. Because it's new every time. But Paul's a trailblazer. Paul is one of those intense people that he's like, hey, we got to get this thing and we got to take it. It doesn't matter where he's at. He's there. What opportunities do we have? What areas in our life do we overlook? Are we in the habit of evaluating what we do, where we do? Are we looking at our life circumspectly so that way we're utilizing those areas of influence? Are we looking at people as opportunities to spread the gospel? We are, by definition, Christians, right? If you believe in Jesus Christ and you're part of this body, we are Christians. Part of being a Christian is talking about that truth because you are somebody different. Do we evaluate that? Do we look around at our life and we say, hey, you know, if I'm a Christian, I should really be talking about my faith. I should really be talking to people about Jesus, opening up those conversations. Well, he says here, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul has in mind what he's doing, but Paul has in mind also that he's trying to comfort these people who are Philippians, right? I want you to think about this for just a second. When Paul says, I want to tell you brothers, okay, so what is he saying? When he says brothers, who are these people that he's writing to? There are other believers, okay? Okay, let's take that just a step further. Okay, when I say brother, what would you think of? I hear lots of whispering. Family, okay? Think about in the military, they call each other brothers, right? Why? Because they're going through stuff together. There's that relationship. There's that experience that they're doing things together. And that's what Paul is bringing up. He says, the brothers, I want you to know this. Why? Why would Paul say, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has happened to for the advancement of the gospel? Why would he say that? Bingo! So they would not be afraid. They're concerned about Paul. This church is worried about the Apostle Paul. Here's a guy who many of them have a direct relationship with. Many of them were saved directly under his ministry. And now what happens if he's gone? Now what happens if he's gone? Well, that's the cool thing, because the gospel isn't about one person, is it? It's not about Paul preaching Jesus. It's about Paul preaching Jesus to people who preach Jesus to people who preach Jesus to people. Oh, and that's kind of really similar to what model that we... Oh, it's a pyramid scheme. That's hilarious. Okay. Not exactly what I was thinking of. but what model? We talk about people who disciple and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, right? This is why the church doesn't die. It's because the message of Christ is so important. It transcends any one person. And so when the Jews killed Jesus, they thought, now this movement's going to die out. But guess what? It didn't. When the Romans started killing the leaders of the churches, guess what happened? The message still goes on and on and on and on. He says, I want you to know, brothers, I want you to be comforted that what has happened to me has really happened because to advance the gospel. So, because of Paul's faithfulness, because of Paul's mindset, because of the way that he is focused on using absolutely every opportunity he can to talk about his story, to talk about Jesus, what happens? He says this. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Did he say they're all becoming believers? No, he didn't say that at all. Paul's not claiming 100% success here. He says that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard. Okay, who are the imperial guards? Do you know who they are? These are the people that are there in Rome. These are the people who are keeping... these are the special soldiers that stay right there at home all the time for specific purposes. They're the imperial guard. These are the people who would have, these soldiers have access to the palace. They protect the palace. They protect prisoners, everything around in Rome. These guys have a hand in running. So if you want to keep yourself alive, who do you keep by you, your best guys or your worst guys? Well, a little of both. And keep your soldier, you keep your best guys by you. Keep your best guys by you. So these Imperial Guard, these are up there in the government. It is known throughout the whole Imperial Guard that what has happened to Paul is happening for Christ. They know all that he has to do to get out of there is just say, you know what? I don't think this Christ thing, I don't think Jesus is who he said he was. That's all he has to do. And he can walk out of prison the next day. That day. But he is there for Christ. Okay? So the whole guard, and it says everybody else, all the rest. So what does he mean by all the rest? Servant workers in the prison. And all the rest. Who else is there? Other prisoners. Good. And all the rest. Who else is there? Cooks, cleaners, yeah. Everybody that knows Paul is in Rome. Everybody that understands, that has some sort of experience with who Paul is. The Christians in Rome know why he's there. They're not scared. They know why he's there. They know he is there for the advancement of the gospel. They know he's there to communicate the gospel, even if it's to Caesar himself. Paul is prepared to take it all the way. That's amazing. It's become known to the whole Imperial Guard and to the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. At this point in history, Christians hadn't quite become the whipping boys. The people that get blamed for everything. Christians hadn't become the people under the microscope yet. The Romans hadn't singled them out. And so here, the believers are like, whoa, Paul's in prison and he's not dying. They're not punishing him. He's just there in prison. And so they don't have to be scared of what of Rome's retaliation, because Rome's not retaliating yet. Rome's not worried about Paul yet. And so because of Paul, the Christians of Rome are just that much more bold to speak about Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? That the courage of one person influences, that the courage of one person encourages, that the courage of one person inspires a whole group of people to go out and to spread the word. Do you think that's interesting? That could be me. Is that what you're saying? That's me? Oh. Right. I agree. Paul understands that his suffering is for Christ, but he also, I don't believe he's really suffering here. He's in prison, yes. He's confined, yes. But he's using what circumstances there are. He is taking everything. He's not wasting. He's making opportunities out of it. In fact, it's kind of like we say, if life gives you lemons, do what with it? Make lemonade, okay? So But Paul, the courage of Paul, that he is willing to stand in there and he's willing to make something of this. He's willing to go and he's willing to be the first if it comes to it. It's causing all the rest of the brothers in Christ in Rome to preach the word even more boldly. Now, what would that look like at Grace Life? I mean, do we have somebody here who's willing to carry that torch? I want to preach the word faithfully. I want to encourage people around me to spread the love of Jesus. Because when one person does it, other people say, yeah, I can do that. Or when one person doesn't, they bring people along with them. They say, let's do this. And now we have people moving in a direction. They're talking to people, other people about Jesus. Whatever it happens to be. We can make up all kinds of fun ways to speak the truth into people's lives. Let's be creative, because that's who we're created to be, creative people. Just like our God, made after him. He said, most of the brothers have become confident, Lord, by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He says, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel, and for the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. So here we have it. People are going out and they're spreading the word of God. People are preaching Christ. Now, Rome happens to be quite a divided town in much respect, and some people don't like Paul. And I've always thought this was kind of a weird section. Here are people preaching Christ, and Paul says, yeah, they're doing it for the wrong motivations. They've got the right story, but they've got the wrong motivation. Isn't that a little weird? I mean, if you really wanted to hurt Paul, wouldn't it be easier just to preach the wrong stuff? Don't you think? But these people, they're spiting Paul. They're trying to hurt Paul. There's some people who preach out of selfish ambition. Why do you think they do that? Because it's about them. They know the truth, and so they speak the truth. But they're not there to follow Paul's lead. They're there to follow their own. They're there to make their own name. We have that, don't we? Oh, yeah. There are a lot of people out to make their own name. There are a lot of people out to raise their own flag and to get people to follow them and their brand of Christianity. He says, and these people, they're out preaching to make Paul out of envy, because they're envious of Paul's influence. They're out to preach. They're out preaching Jesus because of influence. They're trying to lift themselves up. They're even trying, I think, maybe, to try and make it harder for Paul in the prison. They're trying to hinder his own ministry. How would that happen? Well, the more that Jesus Christ gets preached in the streets of Rome, the more pressure there are on people to stop it, because preaching Christ is diametrically opposed to the temples and things that are in Rome. And so there's going to be some natural animosity. There's going to be some natural argument. There's going to be some natural fighting. And so Romans, they don't like a lot of conflict rising up from within. They don't like that division in their city. And so that's going to cause problems for Paul. But you know what Paul says? If it causes problems for me, it doesn't matter. Because whatever way is happening, is these people are preaching Christ. That is what matters. Other people, they're preaching Christ out of goodwill. They do it out of love. And they know here that they preach Christ because Paul has been put in this position for a specific defense of the gospel. He is going to present his case. He's appealed to Caesar, and he's waiting there. Wouldn't it be great to get to spend some time with certain leaders and to work toward talking to certain leaders that we have? That's what Paul does. Paul goes all the way to the number one spot in the land. It's kind of interesting, the opportunity that Paul's been afforded here, even if it means his confinement. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for Grace Life? I mean, and we look at this, and these are, it's kind of a weird passage to preach. It's kind of a, we look at Paul, he's in prison. Some people are preaching with the right motivation. Some people are preaching with the wrong motivation. What does that mean for us? We don't leave it out the door. I think you're referring to this door over here. Yeah? We're not checking out. You know, part of the purpose of meeting as a family is to come here to receive encouragement. It's to come here to receive teaching. It's to come here and worship together and to serve together, serve each other together, so that when we walk out those doors, we have something else to say. We have another way to talk to people about Jesus. Whether it's the way somebody prayed with you, whether it's the way somebody served you with their spiritual gift. Because it's not about me, is it? It's not about what I'm doing. It's about what we're doing to serve each other. It's about what we're doing to serve the community. It's about what we're doing for the advancement of the gospel. Paul does not leave an opportunity wasted. Now, I don't encourage us to think that you know, I used to get guilt-stricken about every opportunity that I left on the table. I'm not trying to beat us down or bring us down or discourage us. I'm trying to say, hey, there are opportunities out there. All we have to do is take them. Start letting the conversation on your lips, whether it's in your business or in your home or at your the group that you meet with or what it is, let that conversation be seasoned with salts or truth. And we know the one who is truth, right? Jesus is truth. As a Christian, we should naturally bring up the things of Christ because it's part of who we are. It's part of our new DNA. It may be awkward at first. It may always be awkward. But it's part of who we are. So let's do this. Let's, whatever situation we find ourselves in, whether it's a good situation or a bad one, let's not look at it as a good situation or a bad situation. Let's look at it as an opportunity to be like Paul, to reach people with Christ. Start talking about who Jesus is. Start talking about what God has done with you. And that's what Paul says here. I think that's what Paul is encouraging the Philippians with this section. But the gospel continues to advance no matter what. And we each have that opportunity. We each have that time, those people. We all have spheres of influence, people that we reach out to every day that we can talk to about Jesus Christ. It's challenging, but it's not impossible. It can be a little scary. But in America, it's not going to hurt us. You pray with me and ask God to challenge me, challenge you to continue to work to advance the gospel on a personal level. Pray that us, that, you know, maybe you feel burdened for the person sitting next to you or sitting across from you or sitting at the other end of the auditorium for you. Maybe you feel burdened for that person. Pray for them. That God would use them. Pray for them for their protection. Pray for them that they would begin to speak truth, the truth about Christ. Can you pray with me? Dear Jesus, we come to you as a people who want to see people saved. We want to see those around us come to know you in a personal way. Lord, let us, as we consider everything that Paul did as an apostle, as a leader in the church, let's consider what he did and help us to be encouraged, help us to be convicted, help us to focus on what it means to speak about you, to mention you. Help us be brave. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to hold each other up, encourage one another, to continue to spread your word wherever we can. I pray that it would just be a natural part of our language, that the name Jesus would continue to just roll off of our tongues, that you would just overfill us so much that we can't help but talking about you. Help us to see every situation as an opportunity, whether it's a situation that hurts or it's a situation where we have to praise you because of a blessing. And dear Jesus, I just thank you for all that you've done for us, that we could have these opportunities, that we have the responsibility, that we have the privilege of sharing you with other people. In Jesus' name, amen.